Welcome to Affinity, a conversational podcast series that shares the thoughts, observations, and insights of professional marketers working within teams of specialists worldwide. Hello, and welcome to this episode of Affinity, where we'll be talking about social media marketing for B2B companies. My name is Elliot King, and I'm in London.
I'm Emily Kemp, also in London.
I'm Shruti Saxena, also in London.
Thank you for joining today, Shruti and Emily. We're delighted to have you here, two seasoned experts in social media. So let's kick off with the first question. Why should a B2B brand do organic social? And I guess the implication behind that question is that does social media actually work for B2B brands? Lots of consumers will be very familiar with social media because they use it in their own lives, but how can it apply to a corporate B2B type business?
Yeah, so I think it's first good just to clarify exactly what we mean by organic social. I guess if you think about how you use social media in your personal life, so that might be uploading, you know, posts to your personal profile. It might be chatting to friends, families, directing questions to brands. All of that is involved within kind of organic social, or your social media strategy, if you will. So I guess when it comes to B2B brands, often they focus more on their paid campaigns, which, you know, can deliver really high reach and have more opportunities in lead generation, which obviously is a big reason why they opt more for the paid aspect. So I guess that leads back to the question of, you know, what is the point of actually having organic social as well for these B2B brands? So your organic social presence is a place to really kind of emphasize everything that your brand stands for. I mean, if we relate it to those paid campaigns, if you think you see an advert for a company, quite often those people actually click onto your profile and, you know, learn more about you. That's really an opportunity to show more about your products, instill more trust into your brands and your kind of recognition, and present yourself as an industry leader. And I guess build an opportunity to start building more thorough relationships with those people rather than just having that advert on its own. So I guess having kind of the combination of organic and paid is really an optimal way for any brands.
Just to add to that, what I wanted to also say was, like Emily said, it's the chance to tell your own story. And social media really provides that really important medium for especially B2B brands to actually talk to their consumers, talk to their end customers. For instance, getting a good social media strategy can help you get customer feedback, important insights, which sometimes may take months or a lot of investment to come trickle down through research. And that really is more of a two-way communication that social media provides you, an organic social media opportunity can provide to a B2B business, which may be missing via just like a paid strategy that a brand may have.
So Emily, in your day job, when you're helping brands, B2B businesses get up and running on social media, is there a strategy? Is there an approach? And what can you outline what sort of process they should be following?
The first step is always that audit and strategy process. Essentially, what you're doing there is really trying to understand where the business is right now, where they want to get to, and essentially the journey between there to make that happen.
So it's kind of like a roadmap for what they've got to do now and what they're going to do tomorrow and next week and next month and so on.
Exactly that. I guess making it relevant to their business, their industry, what's happening on social, and anything else that might be relevant to them at that time.
And what about this audit then? Are you looking, obviously, I'm guessing you're looking at the brand itself and their social profiles. Do you look at competitors? Do you look at their audiences? And how do you go about doing that?
Literally all of those things that you just mentioned. So I guess one of the first things is looking at the brand itself. So really making sure you have an understanding of who the brand is, what their USPs are, all the main messages that they want to be delivering themselves. We then look at their actual social profiles to see how they have been doing that so far. So if there's any key messages, if there's any key formats or imagery which has been doing well for them so far, we know then to kind of continue doing those things and take it forward into their new strategy. On the other hand, there might be new opportunities that come out of this sort of research. So we might be looking at their competitor pages who might be doing things slightly differently. the idea then isn't to directly copy competitors, obviously. We want to then adapt it and make it fit for the brand and what they're trying to say as well. But you always can take inspiration from other places as well.
And so once you've got this plan and you're moving into an implementation phase, what does the daily, weekly, monthly process look like from that point?
Yeah, so I guess this can vary dependent on, you know, the social media manager who's running this activity. For us, we try to follow quite a cyclical routine to keep it simple for everyone involved. Particularly with B2B brands, there's often a lot of different stakeholders who need some sort of involvement within this process. So keeping it quite structured and you know what to expect from the process itself is quite important. So for us, that's kind of a four-stage approach of one, planning, so what content you're actually going to be creating. Secondly, content creation, to actually bring in all those ideas to life. Thirdly is kind of your management stage, so publishing that content, if there's any boosting taking place, any of that involvement, if there's any kind of influencers, partnerships, any of the more kind of day-to-day work that's taking place. And then lastly is reporting, so seeing the results from all of that activity that has taken place.
So I'm interested, Shruti, about the sorts of analytics tools that are available to agencies like yours. How much data do they actually have access to? How useful are these tools in the audit phase, but also in the ongoing reporting phase?
Yes, so these tools are massively helpful. They do have access to a wide range of data. And the advantage is that as an agency, we have access to multiple tools. So some of them may have constraints in some terms. And what really we can do is triangulate data across multiple tools and then kind of get the analysis and insight from both at a top level as well as at a level of, say, which communities, what you know, subtopics are resonating, what topics are resonating, and do actually a distilled down level. So yeah, they are massively useful. They are quite comprehensive. But having said that, yes, it doesn't mean that we are able to distill down to like each level of like what post on what channel.
I guess they must come with a big price tag, right?
Oh, of course. Yes. Yes, they do.
So I guess just to add on to this point, historically, most of the social listening data and insights we have been able to obtain has primarily come from Twitter data as the most kind of open source channel out of any social media channel.
Twitter meaning X now, right?
X, yeah. Sorry, even I get that wrong still. But an imminent change to this industry, which really is going to shake up the whole social listening landscape for the years to come. LinkedIn is very soon opening its kind of gated walls and allowing this sort of analysis to happen on, you know, LinkedIn hosted content as well, which obviously will be huge for B2B brands in particular.
Wow. I guess that's going to be, yeah, like you say, a game changer for B2B brands. So do we know what sort of data will become accessible to these types of analytics platforms?
But still to be confirmed, obviously, when we're looking at other channels, really what we're trying to do often is have a better understanding of consumers. So their pain points, what they're really wanting to see from brands. So if we're able to do that to the same extent on LinkedIn, instead we're seeing, you know, people with certain job titles, people in certain industries, what problems are they having with maybe the services they're receiving or what they're lacking in the industry right now?
So I'm keen to understand for B2B businesses in particular, when they're looking at organic social media marketing, what do you think their biggest challenges are?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think often with a lot of the B2B brands we're working with currently, particularly in the early days, we have a real kind of pain point of changing often leadership's perception of what content should go out on these channels. Often it's very, very focused on promotional only content, really sharing what the brand does. This can be a good element. So, you know, say this is the service we provide. It's high quality. I don't know, maybe they have good turnaround times. But what would take that so much further is more kind of thought leadership pieces and educational pieces to deliver that proof point and almost trust points to really start building those relationships with their current or potential customers.
Yeah, I guess it goes back to that old marketing rule when we're trying to build a relationship with customers, we really need to base that relationship on trust. And that's why authenticity is so important on social media marketing. So I'm wondering then, when it comes to B2B businesses and their employees, whether that's leadership or specialists or experts within the business. How should B2B companies and organizations engage with those personal profiles that might, on the face of it, sit outside the business, but obviously be very influential in the way in which that business is perceived? Is that a challenge, and how should they address that challenge if it is one?
Yeah, I mean, when we're speaking about the kind of employees of B2B brands, I'd say it's more of an opportunity than a current challenge. So there is a term of kind of employee advocacy, which is essentially using your employees as a spokesperson for the brand. So this involves, I guess, the employees talking on behalf of the brand on their own personal profiles. The challenge there is B2B brands in particular might have many layers of approval for any content which is going out, and very specific ways to speak about the brands, its services, etc. So one way you can kind of overcome this is actually instill a employee advocacy program where the brand itself is actually creating the content, getting full approval, and then handing it off to its employees to share on their own profiles.
I'm interested to understand then, if we're talking about leaders or experts or specialists within a company that want to talk about topics related to their work but not directly related to the brand, how much control would an organization want to apply over that type of activity, if any, in your opinion?
So yeah, I think it really does depend on the brand, the business itself. If there are huge concerns about what an employee can say on their own, it's a good practice just to give out a concrete, almost social media policy, so that at least they have that themselves to follow, but they still can speak in their own voice, give their own opinions, etc., which is still considered, you know, okay by the business itself.
So another important component of social media is the increasing amounts of customers that are asking questions to brands, that are asking customer service questions. In some cases, they might be complaining about brands on social media. So how, in your opinion, should B2B organizations manage this community management aspect of social media marketing?
I think the approach is to be extremely tuned in and be quite agile on these platforms to showcase the brand authentically, as well as be there to solve problems for your customers. So if there are queries, if there are questions, if there are complaints, social media perhaps is one of the best ways, the fastest ways to reach out and engage with an existing customer or a potential customer. And if a smart community management or an evolved community management strategy can give us ways on how to keep that customer engaged, but also take that conversation into the right channels so that you can provide a satisfactory solution to that potential or existing customer.
Yeah. And I guess just to see it from another perspective, often community management, it can be, you know, more positive than negative. So there is the opportunity to obtain, you know, great case studies, further build kind of relationships, connections with those people, if you give them a tailored and personalized message relevant to, you know, whatever they have said on social.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. But I guess the other side of the coin, when it is negative, it's that old adage about customer management. If you're quick to respond and address the concern or address the problem, whether you take it offline or you do it on the platform, then more often than not, you can turn what would be a negative experience into potentially a positive experience if you can bring that customer or consumer to becoming an advocate for us. I guess,
yeah,
and in that sense, speed must be of the essence, right?
Absolutely. I think situations very quickly change from what has happened to how it has been addressed. And that's the part that they'll really remember you for.
Yeah, great advice there. So let's look then about emerging trends. That AI has been the big buzzword for the whole of this year. How is that coming into play in social media, and what are the other trends that we're seeing in this sector?
Absolutely. I mean, there's been so many new tools coming out for the past, you know, year or so, which really are used in a variety of ways. In some cases, it's as simple as getting a bit more creative ideas on what content you can be creating. Sometimes it's help writing your copy. Sometimes it's even doing that design process, you know, yourself. I guess the caveat there is it's not quite 100%. It's not quite fully in tune with human emotion or how it can be perceived by everyone. So though AI at the minute can really help save on your workloads, it still does need that human check-in and human perspective to make it right before it goes out on social.
I think there, just to add on, the idea is to leverage AI to maximize the team's capacity rather than replace a social media team by just an AI tool or a set of AI tools, because social media is all about human beings, human interaction, the human voice. And that's why AI can never be that replacement, that one, you know, easy replacement. It always has to be a supplement to a team.
So I'm interested to know how important the actual creative assets, the production, but also the diversification of those assets. Does video work? Does the images work? Do carousels work? Should it be a combination of all of those things? What should be to be businesses actually be talking about and producing for these types of social channels?
I think when it comes to creative, at least to start with, kind of diversifying your content and really testing a variety of formats, of topics, of imagery is really important. It's then kind of the process of reflecting and reporting to see what actually is working for specific channels, for your specific profiles. You can then take those learnings to simplify or strategically plan out your content based off those learnings. But whereas before, you know, we'd say, you know, video works really well on Facebook, there isn't such a clear-cut answer anymore, unfortunately.
So the types of skills required to run a social media marketing strategy, based on our conversation today, it sounds like there's a very diverse set. We're talking about analytics, analysis, we're talking about content production, we're talking about, obviously, creative skills to produce video and multimedia content, administrative skills to manage the scheduling. How can a B2B brand go about building a team? Smaller brands probably wouldn't want to invest in building an entire team internally. Do they work with agencies? Do they work with freelancers? What sort of skills should be best retained in-house, and what sort of skills should be best bought from outside experts? Can either of you speak to that question?
Agencies can be very beneficial for social media in particular for those reasons. There are such a diverse range of skills required across strategic, management and creative skills, which often do require obviously more than one person. So working with an agency, you're able to get the right quantity of each of those skills at the right level for you rather than employing an entire social team. If you're a bigger brand and maybe already have your own in-house creative team, they can still manage, you know, the creative production of your assets, and they might also manage your ad campaigns and any other, you know, creative needs you have. And your agency can focus more on the strategic front and maybe even management for you. But if you're a smaller brand, you might need a little bit of everything. So you can kind of get what you need in that way.
And I guess it's the specialist expert knowledge about the product or service that resides within the company. And probably that's where it best belongs, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess particularly B2B brands, there's a lot of different regulations and industry compliance, which must be obtained, obviously, when anything that is being produced. So kind of working in that partnership, the brand or business would have that expertise itself, and an agency can pair it with social best practices and how to actually carry that forward.
When businesses start working with us, we do come across teams which are like very small teams, and they do everything social media / com / PR / marketing. And that definitely sometimes takes away the opportunity to focus more on social and digital. And like Emily said, it's really with the brand to decide what, you know, the kind of flexibility they want, whether it's several different agencies that they want to work with, or they want to do, you know, a more streamlined kind of work arrangement under the same roof with different teams. They can do that. But like Adit, you said, it's probably best sometimes to retain the core expertise, the core subject matter expertise within the their in-house team, and then work with agencies to supplement that, leverage the agency's knowledge, the subscriptions and access that they have to different tools, media, and make the most of that agency relationship.
I guess the other advantage for B2B businesses, particularly ones that are quite new to social media, is that when they work with an agency, as well as the actual output, you know, that social media content and the growth and engagement and followers and so on and so forth, they're also getting access to intellectual property in the sense of the business processes that are set up to plan the month's activity, the process to get internal sign-off for those campaign assets, the creative production of those assets, the way that the impact and the effectiveness of those assets is measured, and the reporting framework that you put in place, it becomes part of that business process and the internal IP that they're able to run with and develop, so that over time they can continue to develop as social media channels and the internet more broadly develops.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, depending on the client, again, in some instances, we'll run the audience strategy and then continue to help support the management. In some instances, we might do that strategy and then actually do some training to actually pass on those assets so they can run it with their internal teams themselves.
So I'm interested, from the both of you, what are your big predictions for social media over the next year or so? What's going to change?
I would say the biggest one for me is actually in terms of platforms and an actual platform shakeup. Right now we're seeing LinkedIn introducing things like creators, influencers, which we've never seen before. When you think of LinkedIn, that's not kind of the first thing you think of, but it's becoming more and more prominent and is a big opportunity for kind of any brands working on there. And then on the flip side, you have changes such as, you know, Twitter, X, where the biggest kind of change is it may change purely to a pay-to-play platform, as in if you don't pay to be there, you can't engage with any content on the platform, which could see a lot of brands leaving the channel for that reason as well.
Thank you, Emily. That's fascinating, particularly your point on LinkedIn. So are we saying that influencers and creators are being pushed by LinkedIn or pushed by the organizations or both?
Yeah, a bit of both. So there's even a LinkedIn email chain now, which is specifically kind of highlighting key creators on the platform now and giving them more visibility than ever before, because that's something they want to start introducing on the channel themselves. We also see it kind of industry experts themselves are pushing this more and more, as in they've seen the sort of content that traditional influencers are creating. And instead of taking that to really share their industry knowledge and recommend certain brands based off that.
So the thought of PR campaigns for B2B companies, whether it's manufacturing, technology or something else, making an increasing amount of use of influencers, albeit on LinkedIn, is a nice place for us to leave today's chat. Thank you very much for watching. You've been watching the Affinity series from Finn Partners. We'll see you again soon. You've been listening to the Affinity podcast, brought to you by Finn Partners, specialists working in offices worldwide. Now we'd love to hear what you think. Please take a moment to share your thoughts in the comments here or send us an email. You can find all of the contact details at finnpartners.com.